creation, amen. Sing it. Christ is my firm foundation, more the rock on which I stand. When everything around me is shaken, oh, I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus. 'Cause he's never let me down. He's faithful through generations. So why would he fail now? He won't.
You. lift our hearts toward heaven right now and give praise to the Lord Jesus, who is so worthy. His name is so mighty, so powerful, so wonderful and majestic. We praise you, Lord Jesus. We declare there's power in your name today. As we draw near to you today, Lord God, we come through that name of Jesus that has provided us access to the very throne room of God. And we thank you this morning, O Lord, for the privilege of being able to gather as the people of God in freedom today, to worship your name, to preach your word, to experience your presence, to invite the working of your Holy Spirit in our lives today. Oh, how we love you, Lord, and how grateful we are to be your people this morning. Thank you so much for supplying all of our needs. You, O God, are a rich God, a great God, a mighty God, a good God, so generous to your people. Lord, we acknowledge today that you have given us every good gift that we enjoy, and we thank you, Lord. As we come before you today, Lord, we ask that you would come once again and touch our hearts, renew us and strengthen us, minister your healing, helping power to us today, Lord. We trust in you, our confidence is in you, our assurance is in you this morning, O Lord. And we trust you for every need that we have in the house today. In Jesus' name. How many in the room this morning need a touch from the Lord in your physical body or in some other way? You need a touch from the Lord. Lift your hand right now. And I would like for those around you to just reach over and maybe just agree together with you right now. And let's pray together and trust the Lord to meet us this morning and our points of need. That God will speak to each person individually this morning and will speak his word, his powerful, healing, helping word into every life today, Lord. You are more than enough for us today, Lord. And as we express our faith in you today, we know, Lord God, that you hear us and that you are working. Heal those who are sick today in our midst. Heal those beyond the sanctuary this morning who need your touch today. Lord, minister your power of provision into our lives, O God. Bring peace where there's trouble today, where there's strife and stress, O God. Lord, we pray that you would bring assurance where there's discouragement. Lift our spirits today, Lord, and help us right now, O God, just to feel and to sense the moving of the Spirit in our own hearts, in our own lives. We need you today, Lord. But we know that you are more than enough for us, O Lord. So, Lord God, do a work right now. As we're trusting, as we're praying in agreement this morning, we thank you that you've told us that where we agree together, in Jesus' name, those prayers are powerful. You hear and you answer prayer today, Lord. So thank you for what you are doing. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We trust you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Continue, Lord, to guide us by your Spirit and accomplish every good purpose you have for today, for us today in this service this morning as we surrender ourselves to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen and amen. God bless you this morning. Good to have you with us in the house of the Lord today on this Sunday after Easter. Thank you for being in worship today. Would you take a moment right now to reach out and welcome one another to church today and greet one another in the name of the Lord, please. Thank you, Lord. Good morning. Good morning. Do we have any first-time visitors here this morning? Are you here? Is there anybody like that this morning? Wave at us. Anybody here for the first time? Anybody here? Do we have anyone back from some exotic location where they have spent the winter and now they're back in good old Mid-Missouri. Yeah, I see two families. Right, our snowbirds back there have flown home and are resting in the coop today. Good to have you guys back with us today, and great to be in church together with you. We want to welcome this morning for a very special word of announcement, Sister Iva Presbury, who's coming to share about the upcoming Hope for Caribbean Kids banquet. And Iva, come please and share what's coming.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Those are our kids at the school, at our school in Haiti, singing their national anthem. Is anything too hard for God?
No.
Let me try that again. Is anything too hard for our God?
No.
No. And neither is Haiti too hard for God. God is using you and others like you to be the difference makers in these Haitian children's lives. I'm here to invite everyone to come to our dinner to benefit the children in Haiti. When you do, you automatically join other difference makers as God's ambassadors in preventing starvations like those currently reported in Haiti. You are preventing children we serve from becoming that kind of victim. On Thursday, we received these pictures of food purchased for our 356 children in our school in the mountains of Mont Blanc. Then yesterday, we received these images of parents and students loading up the food to walk back to our school since the roads are too bad for deliveries to go all the way to campus. Food purchases occur every month, no matter what it takes to get them back to the children. Hot meals are prepared at the school. Each month, the director of the orphanage sends pictures of food you helped provide and pictures of his receipts. What is more, without support from so many, it would be impossible to support the critical medical care we have been providing for baby Ashton, who's very ill. We have provided medical flights to and from hospitals and payments for long hospital stays. But our biggest challenge is ahead of us. Davidson's major surgery is due to take place in this hospital at Westchester County, Valhalla, New York. The application through the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services parole program for him and his father was submitted on February 13th. We are waiting acceptance. Come to the dinner to learn more. You will love hearing the life experiences of our Haitian-born keynote speaker, Woodcinder Beauplan, and our own Heart for God family and Haitian children speaker, Kim Dickey, as well as the precious voice of our own Gabrielle Yuma, Gabby, which will warm your hearts. If you've not already registered, you may do so at our registration table in the foyer, capture our QR code to register online, or call us. In the foyer, board members and volunteers will provide registration flyers before and after each service. We will also be receiving registrations next Sunday. Come dine with us for a genuine life-saving cause. There is no cost. Local businesses have already paid for your meals. Everything you give at the dinner will help building hope for the future of children in Haiti. Thursday, April 25th at 6:30 p.m., Capitol Plaza Hotel. Doors open at 5:30. Come early. You must register to be admitted. Thank you.
Thank you, Iva. Thank you, thank you. And our pastors and I will be there that evening. We're looking forward to a great evening that Thursday night. So plan to come. It'll be a great joy, and we'll look for you there. Would you stand together one more time as we go to the Lord in worship, as we prepared to preach the Word of God today. We'll be looking to Philippians chapter 4 in just a few moments. But for now, let's continue to worship the Lord and sing about Jesus Christ, our strong cornerstone. Amen.
Seated this morning as we look to the Word of God together.
Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 will be our scripture reading this morning. As we come back to a series we started a few Sundays ago with a break for Palm Sunday and Easter. And this morning we return to our series on prevailing prayer. We come today to Philippians chapter 4, verse number 6. Let's read together. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This morning, as we come back to our series on prevailing prayer, we remind you that we've been talking about keys that will make our praying effectively powerful and pleasing to God. The scriptures are very clear that some kinds of praying are especially powerful and especially effective. Think about these qualities of effective prayer. Praying in faith. How many of you believe? If you're a doubter, you can't expect to receive anything from God. But if you pray in faith, believing, God says he will hear. Praying in faith. Praying in determination. Jesus taught us to knock, 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 to ask, 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 to keep on pressing. Praying in determination. How about praying with a clean heart? We talked about that a couple of Sundays ago. Praying with a humble spirit is powerful. Praying in the will of God, of course. James says we often don't receive because we ask with wrong motives and we're asking apart from God's will. The Bible teaches us that praying in agreement with other believers is especially powerful. And praying in the power of the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about some of those qualities in the next few Sunday mornings. But this morning, we examine another ingredient that will make our praying especially powerful and effective. In fact, this is an ingredient that, if you haven't tried it already, it will change your whole prayer life. It's praying thankfully. Everybody say, thank you, Lord. That seems like a really simple principle, but praying with thanksgiving is an important key to praying effectively. Weaving the spirit of thanksgiving all through your praying. Thanking God even as you're asking God. How many of you understand that when the two of those things are woven together inseparably, they do a whole lot of things for us and for our praying? Weaving thanksgiving and thankfulness through our praying, even when we're asking God for help and strength and provision, even perhaps when we have become desperate for God's intervention, let me just tell you that praying with thanksgiving, even in desperate praying, can be a powerful ingredient to our prayer lives. Now, the Apostle Paul prophesied in 2 Timothy chapter 3 that in the last days, people would be unthankful, ungrateful, demanding, selfish. And that's certainly the world in which we live today. In fact, we're living in a society right here in our own nation where often people are demanding and selfish. They feel entitled to everything and are grateful oftentimes for very little. Gratitude has taken a back seat in the world in which we live today. May gratitude never take a back seat in the hearts and minds and mouths of God's people. How many of you believe that we ought to be grateful not only to God, but we ought to be grateful to one another and to everyone who works to bring blessing into our lives? Say amen. We have a lot to be grateful for. And as we pray and as we focus on making our praying effective, we must weave that thankful spirit in the midst of all of it, because thankful praying is powerful praying. I want us to think for just a moment again about this passage of scripture in Philippians chapter 4 this morning. It's an extremely familiar little passage of scripture, but holds the key to so much for us as believers. Let's read it again in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything. Has anybody in the house ever been anxious about anything? And yet Paul writes, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And when we do that, Paul says, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I hope you can see that that spirit of thankfulness is woven right into the midst of some of the critical disciplines of the Christian life. Praying and giving our request to God, learning not to be anxious or stressed out about things as God's children, and ultimately experiencing that thing we often talk about, a peace that surpasses understanding. How many of you have ever heard any preacher talk about peace that passeth understanding? Anybody here today? You've probably heard it 1,000 times. But that peace that passes understanding comes as we pray with thanksgiving. So this morning I want to take a few moments to look at some very simple principles about praying thankfully. And here they are. The first principle is simply this: let thankfulness precede your praying. That is, before you ever open up your mouth to ask God for anything, come with a thankful heart. A spirit of thankfulness should precede your praying. Before we ever ask God for anything, we ought to acknowledge that God has already given us so much. Do you understand this morning that many of the blessings that we experience from God have come to us without our ever having asked for them? Many of the things we enjoy in life have come because God is a good God. Because as Jesus said, he sends rain on the good and the bad, because he causes his blessings to flow upon those who deserve them and those who don't deserve them. God is an extremely generous God. He has blessed us, the book of Acts says, the Apostle Paul preaching, he has blessed us with food to eat and rain from heaven and all kinds of blessings. Even before we ever acknowledged him as God, he has blessed us. And so a spirit of thankfulness ought to precede our praying. Why? Because thankfulness acknowledges your source. And thankfulness declares in James 1:17 that every good and perfect gift has come down from above, from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Everybody say, every good gift comes from God and has come from God. Thankfulness acknowledges your source. Do you know that a spirit of thankfulness is a spirit that rejects atheism? Are you here? Because the atheist really has nobody to thank, maybe some other person for something, but no real root of blessing or source or fountain of blessing really exists within that crowd that says there is no God. When we exhibit a thankful spirit, we're acknowledging first and foremost, there is a God in heaven. And as the scripture says, that God can open up the windows of heaven, right? And pour down blessings upon us. And so a thankful spirit acknowledges the existence, the reality of God, the goodness of God, the favor of God, the love of God, and thankfulness acknowledges that God is our source. Secondly, as we prepare to pray, we recognize that thankfulness adjusts your spirit. It gets our spirit in the right place before God. Because how many of you know, if we come to God with a spirit of complaining and arguing and a spirit of that somehow thinks we haven't received enough from him, if we come with that kind of spirit, we're approaching God with the wrong mindset right from the onset, right from the get-go. But when we get ready to pray, thankfulness adjusts our spirit. I love this word from Colossians 4, verse 2, devote yourselves to prayer, to being watchful and thankful. Listen to that instruction, everybody. Devote yourself to being thankful? Is your life devoted to being thankful? Hopefully it is, and hopefully we're moving in that direction more and more. But Paul says to the Colossians, just devote your whole life over to a spirit of thankfulness and make it a lifestyle choice. Close the complaint department permanently and get your spirit right before God before you ever come into his presence. Thankfulness should precede our praying. A second word this morning is that we ought to let thanksgiving permeate our praying. Everybody say thankfulness. And now say thanksgiving. Those are two similar words, but they're very different words. Some people would say to you, well, I'm thankful, I just don't express it very often. Have you ever heard that? I love you, I just don't want to tell you. Right? So some people would say, you know, sometimes we find somebody who never expresses any thanksgiving. And if you were to challenge them on that they might say, well, I feel thankful. But how many of you know, ultimately, the feelings are going to make their way outward. And so thankfulness is different from thanksgiving. Thankfulness is sensing that on the inside, I'm full of thanks. But thanksgiving is actually the act of expressing it and giving thanks. So while thankfulness ought to precede our praying, thanksgiving ought to permeate our praying. The whole process of praying ought to be interlaced with thanksgiving, with expressions of thanks to God. I hope, and I think I can challenge you to this, dear friends. I have led the congregation here in prayer from the pulpit hundreds and thousands of times down through the decades. I have prayed in homes and hospitals and everywhere under the sun, I have led in prayer. My prayers have not always been exceptionally elaborate or exceptionally impressive to the person who's looking for impressive vocabulary. But one thing I think I can guarantee you is that my public praying has never lacked the expression of thanks to God. In fact, I make it my ambition and my lifestyle always to begin every prayer with an expression of thanks to God for who he is, for who he has made us to be, for who we are in him, and for all that he has done for us. May we never come to God in prayer without thankfulness and without thanksgiving. Thanksgiving ought to permeate your praying. Well, let's think about what that thanksgiving is all about. Think about some ways in which we ought to be expressing thanksgiving in our prayers. Number one, you ought to be thankful for your privilege in prayer. You know, the truth is having the invitation to come to the Lord and bring our needs to him and fellowship with him, that's a great privilege, isn't it? Now, some of you may have grown up in an old legalistic church where prayer was sort of a burden that was assigned to you, where somebody said, all right, here's your requirement to pray. And maybe you started out in your prayer life thinking that prayer was some kind of a burden, some requirement laid upon you, as if you have to check the box. I had my prayer time today. I checked the box. I had my prayer time today. But listen, the activity of praying when we are God's children and he is our Father is far more than a box checking activity. It's an opportunity for us to get into the presence of God and bring things to the Lord. It's drawing near to the Lord and sensing him draw near to you. So we ought to be thankful for the privilege of prayer. Romans 8 says, you didn't receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we're children, then we're heirs, heirs of God, and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. So Paul says, we are children of God. And listen, as we are children of God, we have the privilege of calling out to him, Abba, Father. That's prayer. That's prayer. When Jesus said, you ought to pray like this, our Father who art in heaven, that our Father is rooted in our relationship as God's children with him. So we come to him as his children. And Hebrews chapter 4:16 says then that we can approach the throne of grace with confidence, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Matthew 6, Jesus said, when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So when we pray, we're coming to our Heavenly Father as his beloved children. Think about that. That's a privilege. We are the chosen ones. We are children. We are cherished. We are forgiven. We are favored. We are invited. Think about this. We are welcome into the presence of God. We're not beggars. Are you listening to me? We're not beggars to God. We're not burdensome to God. We're not bothersome to God. No, we're God's children coming as he wants us to come. Do you know God wants us to come into his presence in prayer? He invites us. And so prayer is such an awesome privilege. As we pray, we thank the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for opening the door for me to come into your presence. Thank you, Father, for Jesus, your son, who taught us when you pray, come in my name and pray to the Father in my name, and you'll have full access to the Father. It'll be like the golden key that opens the door into the presence of God. You can come right in to God's presence. I want to encourage everybody in the house today, when you pray, give thanks to God for the privilege of praying. Yeah. Number two, as we pray, we ought to be thankful for our past and present provisions. Thanking God. Matthew 5:45 says, your Father in heaven causes his son to rise on the evil and good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Romans 10:11 says, as scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. As we are coming to God, we thank him for all of the past and present provisions that he has given to us. Many things prayed for and many things not prayed for. Are you hearing me? Now think with me for a minute. If we have many blessings that are both prayed for and not prayed for, then would you guess that we also have many blessings that have been thanked for and that have not been thanked for? I know sometimes we throw out those big all-encompassing catchphrases. Thank you for everything you've done for me, Lord. Well, couldn't you be a little more specific than that, dear friends? Do you have a mind to think about what God has done for you? Are you here this morning? Yeah, yeah. I believe that just as we experience many blessings that we have not even asked God for, we also experience many blessings that we've never really stopped to thank God for specifically. And God has been so good to supply every good thing that we enjoy in this life. And every good gift deserves a thank you, Lord. Could I have a better amen? Every good gift deserves a thank you, Lord. Give thanks for our provisions, both spiritual and natural, both heavenly and earthly. We've got to look around. We've got to be creative and comprehensive as we excel at the art of thanksgiving. Are you here? As we excel at the art of thanksgiving to God, our relationship with God will grow sweeter and stronger all the time. Isn't that right? When I was a kid in church, we sang a song that I thought was a little strange. It's just worded a little strangely, I thought, but I understand the song. And the song says this: Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Anybody ever heard that old song? Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Well, I saw that's kind of a strange wording to a song, but really, that's what this is about. A spirit of appreciation of God. I appreciate the Lord. And as I thank God specifically over and over again for more and more, as I become more creative in my thanksgiving and more comprehensive in my thanksgiving, my appreciation for who God is and who I am to Him becomes stronger and surer and sweeter all the time. And I begin to fall in deeper, stronger love and devotion with the Father. Because I'm recognizing moment by moment how much He loves me and how good He has been to me and how good He is to me right now. Be thankful for your privilege in prayer. Be thankful for your past and present provisions as you pray. I'd say that if you're praying for some provision, thank God for providing those same kinds of things to you so many times. Don't ever pray to God for a nickel till you think about counting up all the nickels that He has provided for you through the years. Amen? Oh, God, I thank you. In fact, as we do that, we'll talk about it in a minute, but as we do that, we just become more and more convinced and confident in the Lord. Yes. As we think about that. Be thankful for your past and present provisions. And number three, be thankful for your precious promises. Listen to what 2 Peter 1 says, verse 4. God has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. God has given us very great and precious promises. Right? Here's one of them, Philippians 4:1. This is a general promise. I think this promise is specifically about providing our regular financial supply. Our regular supply, because it's in the context of giving here. When Paul writes Philippians chapter 4, he says to the Philippians, thank you folks for giving in the offering. I appreciate it. And you've given in the offering, and I want you to know God's going to provide your needs too. That's the context of Philippians 4. And so here's what Paul says in chapter 4, verse 19. And my God will meet all your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. How many here today can believe with me that God will meet all of our needs? And how many of you believe He will meet them richly? Yep. And what is that? That's a promise. That's a promise. We've talked about promises in the past here from the pulpit. A promise is something spoken about the future, something that's coming, something God says, I will do. Look at me. A provision is something we have right now or we had yesterday. A promise is something God says, I will do in the future. Now that might be tomorrow, it might be next week, it might be 5 minutes from now. But God says, I will do this for you. And the Word of God is packed with promises to God's people. Promises that extend all the way through this life and into the next life. How many of you believe that God will supply for you your daily bread? Say amen. Yeah. How many of you believe God will work out difficult situations for you? Say amen. How many of you believe God will give you peace and joy when you trust Him for it? Say amen. So God says, I will do this, I will do this, I will do this. How many of you believe with me today that one day when you leave this life, God's going to bring you all the way to heaven? Say amen. Those are promises that are up ahead of us. So as we pray to God, we're thanking Him not only for what He has done, not only what He's doing right now, but we're thanking God for what He has promised to do. Look at me and listen to me. Don't ever fall into the rut of just thanking God for what He's already done. Because listen, our God is a God of promises. He is a God of promises, and he is a God who fulfills his promises. And as we thank God, we ought to trust him enough to thank him for what he has promised to do for us. And as we do that, we're going to be rejoicing in faith in what we believe God is going to do in the days to come. Listen, as we are thankful for God's promises and express that to God, that stirs up our confidence to know God is a God of his word. God is going to do. I thank you, Lord. I may have a need right now, but I thank you that you've promised to supply that need. Now, Lord, I'm going to praise you because I know that what you have promised, you will perform. You are able to perform what you promised. You are willing to perform what you promised. You are going to perform what you promised. I have confidence in the Lord that what God has said, he will do. And weaving that thanksgiving into our prayer time for God's promises just stirs us up to know that what we need, God already has prepared for us. Amen. Be thankful for your privilege in prayer. Thankful for your past and present provisions. Thankful for your precious promises. You say, are those promises mine? Yes. Peter said, God has given you these great and precious promises. I like the old song people have quibbled about. It's proper theology at times, but I like the old song that says, every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. I know some people said, well, some promises are for some situation. But listen, as children of God, we claim the promises of God that are directed to us. Could you say amen? How many of you would say, the promises of God are mine? Say amen. Amen. They're mine. God has given them to us. And four, as we do those things, we can be thankful for our prevailing peace. Even as we pray, listen to this word again from Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Look at me, everybody, listen up. As we begin to come into the presence of the Lord with a thankful heart, and we begin to pray with thanksgiving, we're praying, we're thanking, we're praying, we're thanking, we're praying, we're thanking. We're thanking God for what he did yesterday, for what he's doing today. We're thanking God for what he's going to do tomorrow. We're thanking God for his promises. We're thanking him for his presence. We're thanking him for the privilege of being his children. As we begin to thank him in the midst of our prayers, listen, listen, the scripture says the peace that passes understanding is going to come flooding into our hearts and minds and our spirits. That's why I believe we don't have to wait beyond our prayer times to get the peace of God. I believe that in the midst of those prayers of thanksgiving that we're praying with thanksgiving, the peace of God rushes in to fill our hearts, to fill our minds. Why? Because with all of that thanksgiving and praying, we're reminding ourselves and reminding God of his goodness and his greatness and his faithfulness and his love. And when all of that comes rushing into our spirits, how can we help but experience the supernatural peace of God? And God's peace begins to flood right into the midst of that. That's why I believe we ought to spend more and more time in the presence of the Lord all the time. Because as we spend time in the presence of the Lord doing these things, the peace of God just comes and operates in our lives. And we know God is real and God is good and God's going to take care of me. Could I have an amen? Powerful peace comes as we pray thankfully. We pray and thank God for what he's done and what he'll do. Let thankfulness precede your praying. Let thanksgiving permeate your praying. And finally this morning, let thankfulness power your praying. Because a thankful spirit will make all the difference in your praying, in your prayer life. Here are some reasons. One, thankfulness blesses your Father. Psalm 16:2, I said to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. Thank you, Lord. Yesterday, Brenda and I took a family out to help them get some groceries and things. And they struggle with English. And so they use a phone translator, and the son will type some things into the phone translator, and then the phone voice plays it back. It's a little hard to communicate that way, but how many of you know if you take the time, you can understand? And as we were coming back from getting some groceries, it was so sweet in the car, he texted some things, and out comes this phone voice. Thank God it wasn't one of those British voices. If you're here this morning and you have your Siri voice or your phone voice set to a British accent, cut it out, would you? Get rid of the drama. And he texted some things into the phone, and out from the phone, from the back seat, his parents were in the seats in front, out from the phone comes this, thank you very much, we thank you, we are so thankful for all these things that you, and we love you very much. It was so sweet. And, you know, everybody enjoys a report of thankfulness. Isn't that right? Everybody. We love receiving thanksgiving, and we love giving thanksgiving. Sometimes it's just more blessed to give than to receive, even, in our human relationships. But one thing I can assure you this morning, our God is blessed when his people are thankful. He's blessed. Otherwise, why would God desire praise and worship and thanksgiving? I'll tell you why. These things bless his heart, and they bless our relationship with him. Isn't that right? So when we are thankful, we're blessing our Heavenly Father. Psalm 16, I said to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. Everything I have, Lord, every good thing I have comes from you, and you are my Lord. Isn't that good? Thankfulness blesses your Father. Secondly, in praying, thankfulness brightens your focus. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. The truth is, we face many difficult and trying circumstances in this life. But in the midst of every circumstance, we are called to give thanks to God. And as we begin to do that, our attention, our focus is shifted away from all of the troubles of this life and on to all of the blessings and the promises and the goodness and the faithfulness of God. I'll never forget, many years ago, I used to hear an old lady preacher pray. And she'd pray like this. Oh, God. Oh, God. She just sat at the altar, and she just, that was her, the content of her prayer for like over and over and on and on. It wasn't just a lady preacher. I heard an old man preacher down at the campgrounds one time in a preacher's prayer meeting. And throughout the entire preacher's prayer meeting, like an hour of prayer, he was down there at the altar, and he was praying, Oh, God, help us, God, help us, God. And finally, I mean, it was just all I could do to sit there. I wanted to get up and say, don't, after all those years in the ministry, don't you have something else to say in prayer? Is that what your prayer life is boiled down to? A bunch of groaning? I don't know about you. I don't want to end my Christian life like that. Yeah. I used to hear that lady. I loved the lady. She was a lot of fun on some occasions, but not in prayer. She wasn't fun. Oh, God. Oh. How many of you get it and you don't need me to go on any longer? In that illustration, you know, sometimes our focus is so dreary and bleak in praying. I want you to know there are a lot of good things to think about as we pray and trust the Lord. And a spirit of thankfulness and thanksgiving will brighten our focus and turn our attention away from the humdrum and the dreary and the weary and turn our attention toward the goodness of God. And how many of you believe that's a good thing? Say amen. Thanksgiving shifts our focus away from lack and shortage, from worry and fear, and focuses our attention on God's faithfulness and blessing. Yes. Number three, thankfulness bolsters your faith. Listen to what Jesus asked in Mark chapter 8, verse 17. Jesus said to the disciples, they're out on a boat one day, and they had forgotten to bring any bread. And they said, oh, we forgot to bring bread. How many of you know that is an emergency of sorts? Okay? When you forget to bring food, that is an emergency of sorts. And they had forgotten to bring bread out into the boat. And they're talking about, we forgot to bring bread. And Jesus asked them in the boat, why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes to see, eyes but fail to see, and ears but fail to hear? And don't you remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up? 12, they replied. Look at that, look at that. They did remember. He said, how many baskets did you pick? 12. Oh, you do remember that. And when I broke the 7 loaves for the 4,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up? They answered, 7. Oh, you remember that one too. Oh, you remember that I multiplied bread for the 5,000. You remember that I multiplied bread for the 4,000. And here you are worried about not having any bread in the boat. Don't you remember? Do you still not understand, Jesus says? And when they listen, when we begin to think about what the Lord has done for us, our faith begins to rise and we begin to declare what God did yesterday, he can do again today. The disaster he averted last week, he can divert again next week. What God has proven to me is that he is faithful, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that, as Sister Iva has already reminded us today, there is nothing too hard for our God. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think. And let me just tell you, in our lives, he has already done that again and again and again. And the God who worked yesterday is working today, and he will work tomorrow. And thankfulness bolsters your faith. As you begin to thank God for what he's already done, you recognize, oh yeah, this is the God I serve. This is the God I serve. God can do it again. And he will do it again. I love the story in the Old Testament of Samuel when he first became a rising prophet, and the Philistines came to fight against the Israelites. Guess where the Philistines lived? Over there in that western region we know as Gaza today, much of it. The Philistines came against Israel to attack Israel, but the Lord brought about a victory that day. And Samuel said, we're not going to forget about this victory. We're not going to forget about this victory. And he set up a stone there, and he called the stone, do you remember? Ebenezer. What did that mean? Ebenezer, what did that name mean? It meant this: thus far, the Lord has helped us. Everybody say, up till now. Say it again, up till now, the Lord has helped me. And if he's helped me up till now, I can trust him to help me beyond the now. Yes? Samuel said, we're not going to forget about that. We're going to put up this stone, and everybody who sees this stone is going to hear the name Ebenezer. Up till now, the Lord has helped us. Up till now, the Lord has helped us. And the same God is going to keep helping us. He's going to bring us all the way through to victory and all the way through to home. Amen. So thankfulness bolsters your faith. And lastly this morning, thankfulness breaks your frustration and brings freedom and festivity into your prayer life and into your relationship with the Lord. Psalm 28:7, my heart leaps for joy, and I will give thanks to God in song. I'm convinced we need a few more leaping and singing believers out there who have just become so convinced of the goodness of God because they are thankful, that they just break out of the mully grubs. Yep. They break out of the mully grubs. They break out of the doldrums. Yep. They break out of spiritual stagnation, right? They break out of spiritual boredom. And they break into a new season of rejoicing, of freedom and festivity, of singing out to the Lord and thanking the Lord for all of his goodness and his blessings. Listen, that's a whole lot better way to live, isn't it? How many of you would rather be dancing than crawling? Yeah. As we trust the Lord, we begin to rejoice in the goodness of God, and it changes our whole perspective. And so praying with thanksgiving, hear me now, we're done. Well, we're done after I say this. Praying with thanksgiving causes prayer to become a victorious cycle rather than a vicious cycle. I have known a lot of people for whom prayer was a vicious cycle. Praying in the negative, praying in the worry, praying in the doubt, praying in discouragement, praying in the darkness. And prayer has become for them a vicious cycle. Praying and never realizing what God has done and is doing and has been doing. But listen, with thanksgiving, prayer can be transformed from a vicious cycle into a victorious cycle, where we are moving from provision to provision, from faith to faith, from expectation to expectation, from peace to peace, from joy to joy, where we are in the presence of the Lord, trusting him for everything we need, and our time with the Lord becomes, forgive me, young people, our time with the Lord becomes the sweet hour of prayer, where we are enjoying our time with the Lord. And our prayers are becoming more and more powerful and effective. Yes. Our prayers are prevailing as we're praying with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.